I don't know how many of you may have heard a couple of weeks ago on the news that the LGBT community was preparing an all-out assault on churches in Ohio. Those who adamantly disapprove of same-sex marriage, they were going to start to go and confront these churches to try to force their hands. And of course, if the churches did not give in, the old verbiage, "we'll see you in court," is going to apply. We are living in a very permissive age, and the reason I brought this up is that there are many out there who want us to accept them as they are. That no matter what they do, by the freedoms offered, supposedly under the Constitution, we are to be accepting of them and their lifestyle. People do not want us to go and try to change someone. In our colleges and universities, they are demanding safe rooms to go to where they will not hear anything offensive. We have gotten to the place in time, and even in the Lord's church, where we, what's the phrase I'm looking for? We place sin in various categories, some more acceptable than others. Folks today don't want their boat rocked. They don't want to listen to what the Lord has to say. Joel, that last psalm with Noah. It's hard to imagine living in a world where you and your family are the only ones living right. And it has to be one of those situations where if we find ourselves in it, we may be overwhelmed. Of course, in today's age, it's a lot easier to move than it was then. Of course, you know, you didn't have to worry about carrying off the TV sets and everything else. But to live in a world that is that bad, to where just you and your family are the only ones that are doing what God expects, and so close to the creation. But in Hebrews 11 and verse 7, it says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of the things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith." I can imagine what Noah was going through when he was building his ark. I can imagine the naysayers when you've never experienced rain before, in the sense that they were going to be inundated. And of course, it's kind of hard to see something that's not visually there. The judgment day is not visually there. Spiritually, it's there, but not visually. People today cannot see God because they don't want to see Him. He is visible to us each and every day. But as Noah and his family we cannot allow our godly behavior and fearless proclamation of God's truth to not condemn the world today. If we allow these things to go without being said, or if we retreat back into our shells, there is something that is lacking in our lives. You know, Lot did a lot of things wrong. Lot, in a sense, of course, he's mentioned in the Bible. He was a good and godly man, but Lot had his downfalls. Lot liked, like a lot of us, the best things for himself, which is why he took the better land and gave Abraham the other land. But Lot also had moved into the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. and put his family in a very dire situation. Only three people come out of that city alive. Well, four, but one didn't make it very far. Of Lot's other children, they died with the rest of them. But God did not, or Lot did not accept the people as they were in his time. He defended those angels, those men from God. He even offered his daughters. But in 2 Peter 2 and verse 7, it said that God delivered Lot, who was vexed with all manner of filthy conversation of the wicked. I know that there are people out there that think they are doing good things in our country by trying to allow people to live the lives that they want to live. But what they have done in the meantime is to restrict our liberties in order to give others liberty over us. We could call them do-gooders. Maybe for some, within their hearts, they believe it's the right thing to do. After all, we are the ones who are hard-hearted and cruel. But as Lot was saved, so shall we be, even in this wicked world, if we hold fast. Lot did not accept those people, and neither did God. And we cannot condone the filthy behavior of those that, frankly, by definition, are degenerates. There's a lot of things going on around us. I was talking to Joel before services this morning, or this afternoon. I was asking him about the wooded area behind, and he was kind of explaining a little bit of the history behind it, and having to go down to the Archdiocese in Charleston to try to get this land for our church. And while there was very little hope we were going to get it, they finally come to the conclusion that the Church of Christ is the root of the churches today. That being the only way we got this property. But there was a lot of folks in the past that kind of sided with the denominations of the world today. The false teachers, the prophets, the false prophets, the idolatrous worship. Elijah was not ready to accept these folks. Elijah was in a minority there. He had some very powerful people against him. Ahab and Jezebel, to mention just two. And in 1 Kings 18 and verse 40 it says, "And Elijah said to them, after he showed the 450 prophets of Baal just who God is, he said, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took him, and Elijah brought them down to the brook of Kishon and slew them there." There, I'm sure, quite a bit of criticism. Of course, I know Jezebel really was upset. She wanted his head. But you can bet she was not the only one that wanted Elijah's head. He was scared. Elijah, in humanity's eyes at the time, was guilty of not having the proper love and understanding. Isn't that what we have? We can't accept the things that we're going, so we don't love enough and we don't understand enough. But Elijah was not going to accept these, and neither was God. In Isaiah 8 and verse 20, it says, "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to his word, it is because there is no light in them." Can you imagine the meeting between Nathan and Daniel, or David, after David had grieved seriously and sinned. What if Nathan would have come to him and says, I understand. It's the human urges. It's okay. God will overlook those things. But that's not what Nathan did. Nathan showed David just how reprehensible his act was and just how serious a condition he put himself in. David probably never would have repented if Nathan never came to him. Nathan could have very well said, do I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? If we want to bring this up to the first century, we've got John the Baptist. When the Pharisees and the scribes all came to him, what did he call them? A generation of vipers. Matthew 3 and verses 7 and 8. And he says, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring therefore fruits that meet repentance. He didn't accept Herod and the things that Herod did. Herod was living with a woman that he didn't have a right to live with. For John said unto them, Matthew 14:4, it is not lawful for you to have her. And then he kicked the hornet's nest. When we look at different denominations today, we find more soft soaping than we do of thus saith the Lord. They want to accept people who they are. They don't want them to turn away. Jesus made it very clear that he would not accept people as they are. He welcomed them in. But he was not going to accept them as they are. He was the hardest on those who should have known better. In Matthew 23:29, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. He accused them of shutting out God's kingdom against men, when they should have been doing everything they could to get them to be faithful. They were devouring widows' houses. They were making pretentious prayers. They were overlooking the weightier matters of the law. They liked to be seen as religious men when they were just basically coffins. In verse 33, he said, ye serpents and ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? He wasn't going to accept them. And Jesus was not one of those where attack and diplomacy was at the forefront with these people. But in case someone got the idea that they were not included in this, in Luke 13 verses 3 and verse 5, he says, and I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Jesus, he came in this world because we were not acceptable to God. Not in the condition that we were in. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all exception, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul openly admitted that he was a sinner. He openly admitted that he was a blasphemer and a persecutor. And he knew exactly that in the condition that he was in, he was not acceptable to God. But Paul, in speaking to the saints in Ephesus, he said, at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And then he goes on, he says, but now in Christ Jesus, you have sometimes were afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You know, even the Jews could not even understand their own prophecies about the Gentiles being included in this promises. But the Gentiles could not be accepted as they were. And Paul had to remind them again and again and again through his letters. These letters of Paul's are to Christians. And Christians sometimes forget where they've been. But he had to remind them that Christ's blood changed all that. That the only reason they were accepted by God was because they accepted Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1 and verse 6. You know, today I had a conversation, not today, but a couple of years back. My brother-in-law, we get in some really deep conversations. If you can get any deep with my brother-in-law, I don't know. We were talking about this same-sex marriage and things like this. And of course, his favorite thing was, that's your interpretation. I think I've mentioned that quite a few times. But we got on this one thing that, you know, he said that they were born that way. And I said, well, it depends on what study you read. I said, the other study says, no, they're not born that way. I said, they have the same amount of chromosomes that I do. That there's nothing that has changed in them physically, it is mentally. Well, he couldn't accept this. And of course, I went to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 9 through 11 because Paul, writing to Christians, he said those who, he spoke of those who would not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And he talked about the fornicators and the idolaters and the adulterers, the thieves, the drunkards, the covetous, the revilers, extortioners, and others. But then Paul puts this little caveat at the end. Some were such as you. You were some of these people, but you changed. He said, you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. You see, these people can change. They don't want to change. What they want to change is how we see them. I don't think there's hardly any programming you can see on TV today where someone from the LGBT community is in the cast and casted in a very good light. I was speaking to one Christian lady here several years ago. I won't mention her name, and it's not in this congregation, who really enjoyed the Ellen DeGeneres show for the simple reason she didn't cuss. Well, that's the least of her problems. But see how we become accepting of these things just because of an appearance of wholesomeness. And these folks that Paul mentioned could not be accepted without a change. But these folks, by Paul's own admission, were changed. And he addressed them as being sanctified in Christ Jesus. What is our purpose? Why do we have to deal with these? Just who are we? We have 1 Peter 1 and verse 3 says, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We were dead. We were dead. I guess you could say, if you want to put it in today's thing, zombies. We were walking dead. But then we obeyed the gospel. We were born again. We were regenerated, given new life. 1 Peter 1 and verse 14, the Bible reads, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. You see, they weren't accepted until they changed. And we're not accepted until we change. And the world is not accepted until it changes. As Christians, we're warned an awful lot in the Bible about accepting the things of the world. 1 John 2 and verse 15, it tells us to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. We have to love the people. But the things that people do, this is what the world is all about. Because it is the prince of darkness, Satan himself, who controls that world. I love the world that I live in to the extent of the things that God has placed here for me. I do not love the world as man has changed it into, of greed and lust. I love the world as God created it, not as man has created it. Nobody should know better than a Christian that change is necessary. That Paul in Ephesians 4 verses 22 and 24, he said that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The old man must die. The new man in Christ is accepted by the Lord. How can we be raised in the newness of life if we continue to walk in sin? A guy that drives a getaway car for a bank robbery is still going to be charged in robbing the bank. If we are accepting of what the world is doing, we are going to be guilty of driving the getaway car. We cannot allow ourselves to fall back with a blind eye and watch the things that are going on. More and more we are seeing those out here who are trying to preach the word of compromising the truth. Those of us who try to remain uncompromising are being blasted and are hard-hearted. But Paul said, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. Galatians 1 and verse 9. That's not fraternizing with false teachers. If you want to go to Charlotte, there's a Presbyterian church in Charlotte where the preacher is homosexual. I would say the ones that come visit our church and want to be married here, that they go to Charlotte. But that won't happen. That won't happen. John, in 2 John 9 and 11, he said, whoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. If there come unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house. Neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partakers of his evil deeds. He's driving the getaway car. Maybe we had better check up on just who we are to accept as they are. The times that we're living in is not going to get easier. It doesn't matter who controls the government. It doesn't matter what is going to come in the future. Just as the first century brethren did, they were persecuted. And we will be persecuted until Christ comes back again. Will we be a part of that persecution? I hope so. I hope we'll be a part of that tribulation. Because if we're persecuted, If the tribulation, if tribulation comes to us, if we are tried, if we are jailed because of what we believe, then we know that we have been accepted by God because we are standing for the truth. It may be hard to comprehend. It may be hard to hold on to. For so many give under pressure, and I pray that we never will. Do you want to be accepted? There's only one way to be accepted by God, and that is to turn your life over to Jesus Christ. To obey the gospel, to repent and confess and be baptized for the remission of sins, and God will accept you. God will add you to His church. And you will have the promises God has said, that eternal life that so many are going to miss out on. Maybe you are a child of God. We have to be careful of what we accept in this world. Anything that is against God's word and God's will is not acceptable to those who love Him. If there's anyone that has a need this evening, won't you come as together we stand and we sing.